Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Michigan Literary Network Radio for Wednesday, August 3rd, 2016. I'm Andrea Daniel, and today we're talking Coming Out My Box, the title of the upcoming one-woman show and book release for my guest, Tawana Honeycomb Petty, and we'll hear from Tawana right after this quick break.
You're listening to the Michigan Literary Network Radio Show, hosted by Motown Writers Network. Thank you for joining us. Motown Writers connects writers to their literary goals and readers to Michigan authors. For writers, we have workshops, conferences, networking opportunities, marketing, and promotions, plus resources available online and offline. We invite writers of all stages to our free writers discussions meetings held every second Saturday except in November at the Barnes & Nobles on Wayne State University campus from 10 a.m. to noon. For readers, we provide literary entertainment, book news, and giveaways online and offline. Check out our website for more information at MotownWriters.com. The Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers annual events offline include the Essence of Motown Literary Conference and Jam, held every second Saturday in November. Also, our literary meet and greet is held in August of every year. Along with that, we have a book club mix and mingle in October. At these events, we invite readers and writers to come together to celebrate the written word, and at most events, they are free to readers. If you're interested in being a guest on our radio show, advertising with us, or promoting your literary project or service, please visit us at MotownWriters.com and click on our contact page for more information. If you're interested in hosting your own show with the Michigan Literary Network, please submit your show proposals to MotownWriters@Yahoo.com. Please share our information with other readers and writers, and we hope you help us continue to strengthen the literary network in Michigan and increase literacy in the Metro Detroit community. For more information, please visit our website at www.MichiganLiteraryNetwork.com.
And you're tuned in to Michigan Literary Network Radio for August 3rd, 2016. My guest today is Tawana Honeycomb Petty, here to talk about her upcoming one-woman show and book release, Coming Out My Box. Tawana Petty is a mother, anti-racist, social justice organizer, youth advocate, poet, and author. She was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, and is intricately involved in water rights, digital justice, and visionary organizing work. And I like to refer to her as one of the baddest social justice poets Detroit has to offer. Her work and writings have been featured in the Huffington Post, the Michigan Daily, the Michigan Citizen, on SheTroit.com and TruthOut.org, and in Red Pepper magazine in the UK and other publications. She has been a featured speaker and performer in many cities across the United States and abroad. Known as Honeycomb on stage, Tawana Petty is the author of Introducing Honeycomb, her first book, and is releasing her second book, Coming Out My Box, with a one-woman show on August 31st at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. And I want to welcome Tawana Honeycomb Petty to Michigan Literary Network Radio. Hello, Tawana.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. How are you?
I am doing well, and I am excited to have you with us. You are a little low in the volume, so maybe I don't know if you can turn your volume up. I turned mine up as much as I could, so let's see how we can come out. But I want to talk about this book, Coming Out My Box. What's it all about, Tawana?
Well, you know what? Is this better? Do I sound better?
Yep, it's a little bit better. You're a little muffled.
Okay, hang on. Let me.
I was gonna try the headphones, but I can work without them.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I can hear you real good now. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You know what? It's a look into my soul. Actually, it's a poetry book, a book of essays and articles. And in this book, I'm really digging into my politics. You know, the way. You know, in my first book, I talked a lot. It was kind of an introduction to me. I talked about my childhood and some of my rearing upbringing. And this one, I'm talking about, like, where I stand. So, you know, readers are going to walk away from reading this book knowing politically, you know, where I stand and how to connect if they want to come to this work.
Okay, why was it important to you at this point in time to want to come out with where you stand politically?
You know, it's one of those things where I've been thinking about my second book for several years now, and it's something about this movement moment in history. Some of the ancestors that I'm connected to and some of the study that I've been involved in for the last several years that made it this 40th, you know, I'm doing this on my 40th birthday. So it's almost like it's that moment to, like, really fully step into my adulthood and say, you know, no more beating around the bush. These are my politics. This is how I, you know, navigate through the world. These are some of the people who helped to nurture that development. And I want to be honest and just outright with everyone in this book. And so I thought it was important to put it out there and exactly on my 40th birthday.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned the people who helped nurture your development. Who were those people?
Some of my ancestors that are referenced in this book are Grace Lee Boggs, who passed on last October at 100 years and 100 days. So she had a very fruitful life. Ron Scott, Michigan Coalition Against Police Brutality, who he passed on shortly after Grace. Charity Hicks is in this book. She was a water warrior, environmental justice activist. So there's so many. Tangela Harris, she was more of a peer, but she was also just very dedicated to this work. And so a lot of ancestors have crossed over in the last year and that I was very close with and doing a lot of social justice work with. And I thought it was important to include some of my viewpoints and some of the nurturing and growth that I learned from those individuals in this book.
Ah, okay, I see. So your first book, Introducing Honeycomb, came out in 2011, and you've mentioned that you've been thinking about your second book for a while.
Yeah,
you've been very busy since your first book came out in 2011. Let's talk about your evolution as a writer since the release of your first book. You did mention the nurturing from the ancestors that has influenced your writing. What else? How else have you evolved as a writer?
You know, I think I evolved overall as a woman first. And so, you know, I went through a lot of spiritual growth, a lot of self-esteem growth, and just a lot of some of those layers you have to peel back from childhood trauma and other things, relationship trauma. And so I think hopefully I'm still growing and will be growing for many decades, but I feel that I've done leaps and bounds as far as my emotional integrity as well as my political integrity over those last several years. And so it's a different voice. I mean, I've always been pretty political, but I think that this is a different voice, and people who compare the two books will be able to see that.
Okay. Yep. I'm pretty sure it will be clear. So let's talk about some of the things that are in coming out my box that are actually different from the first book. You've grown as a woman first, and I love that you said that you've evolved overall as a woman first, and how that has also influenced your writing. So the differences between the two, you did mention that people will see the differences. What are they? A little bit more of that.
Yeah. You know, I think I was hesitant in my first book. You know, there were some things that I was sharing about my childhood and trauma and things like that, that, you know, I was still touching the surface, and I was still, there was some anxiety about some of the things that I was writing. And I think that I was careful about, you know, how I was feeling about particular scenarios and different things like that. And I think in this book, I'm speaking with more of a voice, more of a solid perspective on some of the things, whereas I might have written a poem, and I'm going by memory. I don't recall everything that's in my other book, but I might have written a poem that was more of a story about someone or a story about a child or a scenario. And in this book, I'm speaking directly from that perspective, or I'm speaking directly to that child, and I'm saying, shed that, let go of that, you know. So you know, whereas I'm like tiptoeing around things a little bit, I think, in the first book. And in this one, I'm saying, we're here now, so let's deal with it.
Right,
you know? So it's,
right.
It's much more confident.
So what did you have to do, or what happened, or where did you have to go inside in order to bring those harder-hitting issues out, in order to be more direct and speak more directly to the child and bring your political views out? Because that takes a lot of courage, and it sounds like you were coming from more of a place of bravery in this particular book.
Yeah, you know what? Trauma and grief are some powerful emotions and experiences, and it's something about grieving so many loved ones, you know, consecutively, that either takes you under or pulls you over, you know. And I think that I did a little bit of both. I think I did a lot of soul searching about, you know, the knowledge that we are mortal. And and so we only get one lifetime. Well, you know, we don't get one lifetime. We get one here. And so what am I going to do with that lifetime here? And then also the legacy of transferring work, you know. And so it's not about me. It's about these things that I feel that are very important, and some of the talents and gifts that we get. A lot of times we take them with us. And so I don't know. I think I just really have deeply connected with the importance of making sure that our ideas live on beyond ourselves. And so there's no more of that, you know, just sitting here and sulking about it, or thinking about it and keeping it to myself. You know, it's like there's someone out there who this message would benefit, and it'll benefit me to keep evolving and sharing and growing. And so writing is, you know, it's become a saving grace again. You know, where sometimes you get to the point, you probably notice where it becomes you're doing it as a job, and it becomes work. But now I've fallen in love with it again, and I see the power of the artist, especially in movement moments. And so I think it's important that the artists just really come out in full force and put our work out there.
Right. Oh my gosh. So you said that you've fallen in love with it again. You say that to say that there was a period of time, I assume, that you were not in love with it.
Yeah, you know, there was this misconception. You know, we have this misconception about writer's block, right? And I had those moments where I was like, I can't write. It's nothing's coming out. And I recognized that was that competition. That was that insecurity that was saying, it's got to look this way, or it has to sound this way, or, you know, what if somebody reads it and they don't like it, or what if it's not slam competition worthy, or what if it's, and once you get out your own way, you know, and you recognize the value of your story and your voice, then it takes away those barriers, you know. And so once I got past that, it was like, oh, shoot, I love this again. This is what I did this for in the first place. You know, so.
So you had started. You had started second guessing yourself.
Yes. Yes, mm. and I was performing instead of you know, really just sharing my soul.
Right. Okay. Wow. That speaks volumes to growth and to getting past writer's block, because there are so many little intricacies that fuel writer's block, and you just mentioned so many of them. And it's wonderful that you were able to, you know, find your way out of that and climb out of that to really be able to bring writing back into the forefront of your life, because you're a wonderful writer. And I think now would be a good time to hear one of the pieces from the book, from Coming Out My Box by Tawana Honeycomb Petty.
Okay. So I will do a short one for you.
Okay.
Black child, born to black child. They say you got no place in this world fixed of judgment. Tell you, your mama ought to be ashamed for birthing a disaster, a bastard child raised by adolescents. Tell you, you won't get very far. Kids like you never do. Say you were doomed at conception. Ain't no village to protect you. Groom your mama through her folly. They'll box you deep into a corner. Try and condemn your whole existence. Tell you, she should have made better decisions, used protection, married your father before you were born. Black child, born to black child. They will drag you through the mud, but stay resilient. Carve your mark into the wind. Turn your nose up at the naysayers and leave the world better than you entered it.
Wow. And what's the title of that one?
Black child.
Black child. Okay. Now, it may be obvious what fueled that particular poem, but where did it come from, actually? What made it surface? Was there one particular thing that made it surface, or accumulation of things?
You know, I think it was an accumulation of things. I am this black child. My son is this black child. And I've run into, through mentoring and youth workshops, so many variations of this black child, you know, where, you know, your parent made a mistake. They had you at a teenage, you know, young age, and maybe that somehow transferred into you, and you had your children young. But instead of it being a really, you know, nurturing, teachable moment or a moment to grow, a lot of children are shamed and isolated and marginalized. And so I'm saying to that child, you're going to get all of that, but come out of it. Come out of it. That doesn't define you. You know, we are not products of our environments. We are productive despite our environments. And we don't have to sulk in what mistakes we've made, our parents have made, and if we have children, the mistakes that they will make, because we are all human. And I think that is shameful, you know, that a lot of children these days are kind of like labeled and ostracized. And, you know, you hear a lot of adults say things like, these kids these days, and you know, and these things, and I think there's an ownership responsibility that we have to take in nurturing the self-esteem and the pride in our young people. And so this is a message to those children who have been thrown away, and it's been saying, come out of it, come out better than you, the place you came to, you know, the place you were born into.
Wow. Okay. That's a powerful piece. Were there any particular challenges you had to overcome while putting together this book? I know you mentioned that there were several deaths that you had to deal with, you had to grieve over and come to terms with. I assume that those were some challenges as well. But were there any other challenges that you had to overcome while putting it together?
Yeah, you know, I have health challenges that I've dealt with. I have one sibling who was dealing with similar health challenges. We have some heart issues that are hereditary in our family. And so that was challenging, but it also was an opportunity to slow down and focus as well. So I'm really learning how to make lemonade. I think I've made more lemonade this last year than I have in a long time. And so, there were definitely challenges. And then, you know, grieving for this country and what's happening abroad. And my son was scheduled to be in Turkey for several months, and there's civil unrest there that canceled his study program. And just talking to him and getting him to, an awareness of what's happening globally and why these things are happening. And then also the incidences with unarmed young black men and women being killed and transgender identified people being killed and police officers being killed. And so it's just been a very, tumultuous several years actually, but this year, very hard in particular, but it also was dry. It also drove me to finish, because it was like, this is a piece of literature that can also be a conversation starter around these things, or a guide to how to have these types of discussions, or some experience. There is some information in here about Ron Scott, his book, one of the articles that I wrote about his book on ending police brutality. There are a lot of things in this book, so I really went a non-traditional route, and I have articles in here and essays and poems, and I'm just really pouring my heart out. So I think it's an important contribution. And I never really say that about, things I write, because I'm pretty humble and a bit insecure about what you put out there in public, But but I'm shedding that because I think it's important. I think it's important to write.
Right. It is. It is. And that's also coming from that place of confidence that you mentioned earlier, that you're a bit more confident in what you're doing, because you've had a whole lot of experiences and a lot of things that you've had to deal with that have added a lot to your, added and detracted a lot from your life. And you've put a lot of it in this writing. And so I want you to tell us, though, about the One Woman Show coming up on August 31st, which you mentioned is also your birthday. And so tell us about that event.
So I'm having it at the historic Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History. So I'm really excited about that. And so it's going to be a video, brief video presentations, poetry. I'm going to do a little singing. I'm going to do a monologue, and I'm going to sign my book after the presentation. So it's on August 31st from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. So 6 to 8 is the One Woman Show, and from 8 to 9 is the book signing. And it's free. It's free entry. The books will be for sale. They're only going to be $10 during the event. And that'll be, that'll be August 31st, my 40th birthday.
Wow. Why did you decide to go this particular route with the One Woman Show format?
I did a really, I remember my first time being asked to do Cher when I was very new to performing. And I did a feature show, and it was like 40 minutes long. I remember that. And so I was so nervous, and I was just, and I think I was just pretty much just putting out there anything that I had written. And and so that was probably about, it's been over 10 years, but I just remember saying that one day I was going to do it different. I was going to do more of who I am. I'm not going to just, bury my head in this book and read these poems, or bury my head on this paper, which that's a part of it too. But I was so afraid to connect with the audience, and so over the years, like, I've developed such a love for the audience, you know, at my shows and when I perform, that I really wanted to have a heart-to-heart connection with the audience, and I wanted to have a dialogue, and I wanted people to see me inside and out and see why I'm involved in the work that I'm involved in and why I have the political views that I have, and I wanted to just really feel the energy of, you know, I have 240 people registered so far for the show.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, I'm anticipating that it's going to be, you know, a standing room theater. And so I'm really, really excited about this opportunity to just really lay it all out there and absorb as much energy as I give away.
And that's a very vulnerable act to do what you're going to do, because you do get a lot of energy from the audience. And when you're reading something and you can hear the audience go, you know that they are getting it, right?
Yeah.
So tell people, you said you got over 200 people already registered. So if somebody wants to register, where can they go to do that? And tell people how they can also keep up with you online, because I've got to be wrapping this up, unfortunately.
Okay, no problem. So it's on Eventbrite, E-V-E-N-T, Bright, one word, B-R-I-T-E, one word. And the show is Coming Out My Box. And actually, if you even just Google Coming Out My Box, it'll come up. But it, it's also on Facebook, Coming Out My Box, One Woman Show. And my website, which you can also find it there, is honeycombthepoet.com.
Okay, wonderful. Man, I am so glad I got to talk with you today. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on the
you.
Show and for giving yourself in the way that you do.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And I can say all the same things
to
you.
Oh, thank you. All right. So I'm looking forward to your One Woman Show on the 31st. And I thank you again. And I will see you later.
All right. See you later. Have a good evening.
Okay. You too. Good night.
Tonight.
And that is it for this edition of Michigan Literary Network Radio. I want to again thank my guest, Tawana Honeycomb Petty, for being on the show today. Be sure to follow her on social media and visit her website at honeycombthepoet.com and register for her free one-woman show on August 31st at the Charles H. Wright Museum of African American History from 6 to 9. It is free, but you do have to pay for the book if you want to get it, and I encourage you to do so. Her book is $10 at the show, so be sure to get on that because you will be happy that you did. And remember to stay connected with Michigan's literary community through the Michigan Literary Network and Motown Writers Network at www.motownwriters.com and on Facebook. And be sure to tune in to Michigan Literary Network Radio on blogtalkradio.com next Wednesday from 5:30 to 6 p.m. to hear more literary good stuff. And I will announce the guest soon. This has been Andrea Daniel. That's me for Michigan Literary Network Radio. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for being there and listening in. I really do appreciate you. And I want you to have a good rest of your day and live a good story and tell somebody about it. Good night.